How does one preach on the passage, "Children, obey your parents," when I probably am not the best one to speak on obeying my parents? I struggled with that when I was growing up. Deanne's laughing, and I'm very thankful my mother is not here today, because I wasn't the easiest kid to raise. I didn't always obey my parents. I was the mischievous little kid pretty much all the time. But nonetheless, it's scriptural. It's in the Bible. Obey your parents. And today we're going to look into that. But we're going to back up a little bit too. And for the past couple months, we've been looking through Ephesians, and we started in chapter 4. And we moved through 5, and now today is the beginning of chapter 6. And Ephesians, these three chapters, really is some pretty good instructions on how we should be living our lives as followers of Christ, as Christians. And today is really a continuation of it. And I want to point out the fact that when Paul wrote this, he didn't have chapters and verses. And in our Bibles, where it looks like chapter 5 ends with the wives and the husbands loving each other, husbands loving your wives and wives respecting your husbands, Paul's thought really just continues on into children obeying your parents. So, and I'm sure most of you have had a great week coming off of last Sunday where we talked about love and respect, right? Didn't get a little bit of intense at home from time to time? So anyhow, last week we talked about husbands, how we're to love our wives more than anything. This agape love of willing to die for our wives. And wives, all we need you to do is show us some respect. And that's how we interpret. That's how we feel love, is when our spouses respect us. But it's really all about, in all of Ephesians 5 and 6 and even back into 4, it's about order. And there's an order of submission in things, whether we as humans want to admit it or not. Whether we want to recognize that God calls us to submit from time to time to Him, always to Him, but from time to time to one another as well. You know, Jesus submitted to God. On earth, in earthly form, he was in full submission of doing God's will, even up to the point where it cost him his life. Man, we are called, when I say man here, I'm talking about all of us, men, women, we're called to submit to Christ, to give our lives to Jesus. Ephesians 5 talks about wives submitting to your husbands, and there's an order of things. And now Paul is moving into children. When he says obey your parents, it's the same thing as submitting to your parents, of doing what they ask. And there's reasons for that. And this order is very important. And there are times where our role is different, but it's very vital to recognize and understand where our roles lie. It's kind of like building a house. Anybody here ever worked in construction or did some little toying around building things? I think a lot of us have. If you build a house, you don't start with the shingles. And then below the shingles, you don't go and then put the plywood and then the trusses and then the walls and the floor and the foundation. You got to do things in the right order so they work. And that's really what these sections of scripture is talking about. You know, when you build a house, you get an excavator or whatever, and you dig the dirt away and you pour your footers, your foundation. And on top of that then, the cement block go, and you start your first walls. Then you put the floor on. You put more walls, depending on how high you're going with it. And on top of those walls, then the trusses and the sheeting and then the shingles go on top of that. There is a very important order to things, even inside the house. You wouldn't build a house, and as soon as you get the walls up, put drywall on, and then go back in and try to put the electrical work and the plumbing in it. There is an order, and that order is very, very, very important. And we need to recognize what our roles are and in the order of things. What if Jesus, while he was on this earth, he knew what his place was, and he knew his job was to follow God's will, completely God's will, and live a sinless life. What if Jesus, while he was on earth, says, "Now, God, now that I'm here, I see things, you know, I see things from their perspective, and I really, I know you want it this way, but we're going to do it my way." That wouldn't have worked. Once we step out of doing things God's way, we are no longer living in his will. And then it becomes, is it sinful or not? And if Jesus would have stepped out of God's will and would have walked in sin, then redemption wouldn't have been possible, now would it? There is an order to things. And one thing I think we need to recognize as we talk about obeying your father, if we look at this in a man-to-God relationship, because God has called himself our father. And if we look at that, God knows all. He created this world. He sees all. He knows all. He knows what's best for us. Even when we think we do, God knows what is best. And he wants us to draw closer to him. He wants what's best for us, and he wants to build us up. And if we can recognize that, obeying our Father should be easy. And I want you to think about that in earthly terms as well. Children, your parents really want what's best for you. They want to lift you up. They want to draw you closer to God. And if we can recognize that, it'd probably be a little bit easier to obeying our parents, to following what they've asked of us, when we can recognize the fact that our parents want to build us up, want to draw us closer, want to have that deep, intimate relationship with us. Look at why God sent Jesus. It was because he loved us so much that he wanted to restore us, that he wanted to bring us back closer to him. And the same thing holds true. We talked about this last week for a husband and wife. If the wife understands her husband wants what's best for her, wants everything to do to raise her up, to be able to hold her up before God, pure and holy, and draw her closer to God, that wife is not going to have any trouble at all submitting to her husband. And the same applies for our kids. If our kids know and recognize that we want what's best for them and we want to do all we can to draw them closer, to build them up, kids, then it's easy to obey your parents. As parents, kids, we want what's best for you. That's all we want. Sometimes what's best for you is some hard lessons to learn, though. Sometimes we have to let our kids hit a few bumps along the road. I remember when our kids were little. I'm going to get a little personal here, I guess. But when Olivia was first born, we were the typical firstborn parent. Oh, I'll keep all the germs away. When she'd drop her pacifier, you know, it was you know, light sirens, get the water out, boil it, completely sterilize it and all this stuff and make sure it's perfect. Reese come along, and he'd drop his. We'd wash it off a little bit, and not near as picky. Raymond would come. We might rinse it off with the spigot. Then when Emily was little, sometimes we would lick it off clean or just go by the five-second rule. But it doesn't mean we wanted less for our kids. We've changed as we've parented, but the whole time we've wanted what's best for our children. And part of what's best is raising them up in Christ. Sometimes, though, our kids don't always recognize that what we're doing for them is what's best. I'll give you, for example, when Raymond was young, somewhere around two years old, he had to have some pretty major surgery. And I think I've shared this before, but his kidneys are deformed and his ureters were not working properly. At that point in his life, he was completely healthy, though. He could live a normal life. But what was going to happen as he got older, infections would start happening regularly and it would eventually have killed his kidneys and he would be looking at transplants. So what we did as parents, we decided to have this boy that looked perfectly normal go in and have major reconstructive surgery. Now at the time, Raymond had no idea why we subjected him to all this pain. But we did it because we wanted what was best for him in the long run. Sometimes as parents, we have to make some tough decisions for our children. We got to let them learn some things the hard way to build that foundation on Christ. And it's important that they have that foundation. And it's easy, remember, it's easy to submit and to obey if those in the submitting role understand and recognize that what we want is what's best for them. What we want is to lift them up, to draw them closer to Christ, to hold them in front of God, pure and holy. As parents, we want what's best for our children. And so it should be easy. If we look at Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, it should be easy. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. I like that. First commandment with a promise, with a blessing tied to it. That's kind of neat as you read it. That it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Obey your parents. Looks like you're going to live longer if you do. It's pretty neat. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Plant that foundation. Lay that foundation on Christ. So obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. And I think as we do this, it's important to keep in mind the order of things and how God has designed things. And if we look at verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord. Why do we do that? Number one, we should be motivated because God has asked us to do that. Motivated because it's in Scripture to obey our parents. And number two, with this, though, I think, parents, there's some responsibility on us. There's a big responsibility here that we are to raise our children in Christ. We are to plant that, to give them that foundation. Now, the one thing we have to remember as parents, that we cannot make the decisions for them to give their heart to Christ as they get older. And that can be a difficult thing for a lot of parents. We can take our kids to church every Sunday. We can take them to Sunday school, do all the Bible schools, everything that involves raising children in the church, yet that choice is still theirs. But I think as we live an authentic Christian life, that choice will become easier for them, especially at times, not especially, but sometimes though, some children need to kind of go through a rough patch in life. I know that was my experience, is I had everything I needed. I had everything I wanted. And as you're growing up and you have everything, what do you need God for? You got everything. But when things start to get a little, when you hit a storm or two, and things aren't going well in life, and you're falling down, and you get to the bottom of the barrel, guess what you find at the bottom of the barrel? God. Sometimes it's okay to let our children fall and hit the bottom of the barrel. Because they will find God there if we've given them that foundation. Verse 2, honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. Anybody ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Hoping I see some hands here. There we go, yeah. Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother is one of them. Paul is simply repeating one of the Ten Commandments here. This is number 5 in the list of 10. And I think this is a pretty important one. It's a pretty important concept to obey your parents. And by the way, nowhere in Scripture does it have age limits on obeying your parents. So those of you that are my age or older and your parents are still on this earth, we still got to obey them. As tough as that can be from time to time because we want to do things our own way, we need to obey our parents. And in fact, it's so important obeying your parents. And I do believe that this is tied to and part of the reason that God has called himself our father, because the family unit is so important in raising our children right. The family unit is what we have, is our way to model to our children what has been ordained by God. You want to mess up a kid? You want to see a kid that's been messed up? Take that family unit away. Now, I'm not saying, please don't hear that every kid that doesn't have a perfect family unit is messed up. We all have our issues. But it takes a lot. Our kids get bombarded with everything, and that family unit is important. Now, if there's parts of that family unit that are missing, there's parts that God has put in place to fill those voids, to fill the gap. Some might be through church, might be through grandparents or whatever, but that family unit is important. And in fact, I think that's a lot why God has called us, or called him, our Father. So we can help, so we can recognize how important it is. And the Bible makes it clear many, many times that God has called himself our Father. And we are to honor him. Honor our Heavenly Father by, how do we honor God? By obeying him. You know, I get stressed out when my kids don't listen to me, when they don't obey or do things I ask them to do. And yet it turns around when God asks me to do something, I'm not always very willing to do that. Yet I get upset when I don't, when my kids don't obey me. How do I think I make God feel when I don't obey him? I think we've all been there. We've probably all been there more than often than we want to admit. Obeying our Father should be easy. Because we can recognize, if we recognize that God wants what's best for us, it should be easy. Obey or honor your father and mother. Why? That it may go well with you. You may enjoy a long life on earth. There's the blessing Paul talked about. Obey your father and mother, and things are going to go a little better for you. Reese, Olivia, when you listen, when you obey, how's your home life? A little better than when you don't? Yeah, yeah. Did you catch that promise in there that Paul puts? It's very truthful. If we obey our earthly parents, things go better for us. Well, I do believe he's saying the same exact thing. If we obey God, he knows what's best for us, and things are going to go a little bit better. Now, I'm not talking about this whole, you know, blessings, and he'll shower you with wealth and money and huge houses. No, he will shower you with joy. That joy that you can't get in any other way. He will fill those voids in your heart. Even though you could be going through a mess at home or a mess at your work, you will still experience joy. Feel joy because it's the joy that God places within you. God's blessing is tied with honoring him. Honor him. Honor him with all we have. Might our life be a little bit better if we honor him even a little bit more? Now, I'm going to wrap things up here, but we can't end without looking at verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. I have to admit, I had to look up what that word meant. And yes, I use Google. Google's one of my favorites, those of you who aren't regulars here. But exasperate your children. It says, it's really, do not irritate. Do not infuriate your children. Do not do things to your children that you know are going to get them irritated and going to cause an argument between the two. Be the bigger person here. De-escalate situations when you're dealing with your children. And that's very hard to do. When my kids don't listen, do I want to start arguing back with them? Oh yeah, I do. Maybe, just maybe, I could diffuse the situation if I don't exasperate my children. And I approach things in a little bit different way. I'm going to get a little bit personal here and share some experiences. As of late, these last few months, and it's mainly my fault, me and Reese quite often have been butting heads. And I really, as I studied through Ephesians chapter 5, I realized that it's probably mostly, if not all, my fault. Not that I'm irritating him on purpose or trying to get him to argue back, but I'm realizing something. Our society has taught us that children are children until their 18th birthday. But what if our children are grown up a little bit before that? And we have this switchover. If you remember back in Ephesians 5:33, it says that we are to respect our men. And I think where I've been making the mistake is I've been treating Reese like a child instead of showing him respect. And deep down, I can tell as he's growing up that he's longing for that respect from me. He wants to know that his father respects him. And so, Reese, I'm sorry for quite often how I've reacted with you. when I know deep down that's what your desire is you're growing up into a fine young man and that you need respect from me. And I think it's important as parents that we recognize when our children get to that point, and that switchover can be something that we mess up quite often. Those of you who have kids that are already out of the house, out of high school, I've heard often from people in that situation that, boy, them high school years were tough. What if they're tough because of the way us parents are reacting with our children? Now, I'm not giving you a free pass here, kids, to act like whatever you want, and I'll respect you. I will respect you, but there's also that tie-in to obey, because I'm still your parent and I will be forever. But somewhere in this, as our kids grow, they turn from children into adults. And we need to recognize that and walk through it appropriately with them. So in closing, children, we can't get around the fact that we're all children and that we still need to obey our parents. Obey them in Christ and it will go good for us. And parents, a couple things here. One, we need to put that foundation in our kids. We need to bring them to church every Sunday. We need to live a life worthy of Christ so our children can see that and they can have that foundation that when things get rough for them, they're going to fall back on God. And also, as our children grow, we really need to recognize when they're not children anymore and need to be treated like adults. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you for this day. Father, I just pray whatever words that you've helped us to hear, that they can be etched on our hearts and that we can glean from today what you need, what you ask of us, and that we can follow you and follow you alone. And Lord, those of us that are raising children right now, God, may you just guide us. It's a very important job, a precious job. And Lord, I pray that with your help, that none of us will mess that up. And Lord, I also pray that you will raise us up to stand in the gap for other children who may not have been blessed as well as we have, as much as we have. God, I pray that we are your hands and your eyes and your ears and your feet. And may we have a heart of love like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.